If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today we are, I'd say, revisiting the most listened to episode of this podcast since it started almost 5 years ago, is the no contact episode. It's the second episode that I ever did, and it is, no contact is always the most, I guess, popular thing that I talk about. Because it's been almost 5 years since I recorded that episode, I wanted to do sort of a no contact 101 revisited. While I don't think my complete opinion of it has changed, I do think just talking about it for so long and just hearing feedback and hearing stories and getting a lot of questions, I think it's probably been a little bit adjusted. So the way this episode's going to go down is I'm going to explain the no contact rule. I'm going to lay out why I think it works. I'll do my best. There are just so many supporting episodes that I have done on very particular parts of no contact. So I will do my best to reference those episode numbers if you'd like to dive deeper on any of these topics more specifically. We are also going to answer a bunch of questions. A couple weeks ago before recording this, I did put out a question call on Instagram asking people what they wanted me to talk about in this episode. So we'll get to those at the end, and that's how we'll do it. So no contact is, I think, the biggest thing that's probably changed since I did this episode 5 years ago is it's talked about a lot more, which is great, because the context I had for no contact prior to starting Breakup Bestie was using no contact as a means to get an ex back, which, if you've listened to any other episodes, you know that's not my thing. So I think we are talking about no contact much more, which is great. I did no contact in my last big breakup. It was the first time I had ever done it. And I saw such a huge impact in my ability to not only get through the breakup, but also just open the doors for me in so many ways to explore how healing from a breakup can improve and change so many other areas. I think in breakups in the past, when I was in contact with my ex, whether that was talking to them, still hanging out with them, like I basically have done every way of not no contact with an ex. I have lived with an ex after going through a breakup. Really don't recommend that one. I have like tried to stay quote unquote best friends with them. And then I've done more of just like casual. I've tried like friends with benefits, where that kind of thing. And I think when I was going through those kind of breakups, there was so much energy put into trying to maintain connection or contact with them that it took up all of the space that I had to actually heal. And so that's why I believe the breakups either took a long time or just didn't really reap the benefits that I know are possible after going through a breakup where there was absolutely no contact. So what does no contact mean? It basically means exactly what it says. And then I will add the caveats that I know some people have. So that means that once the breakup is done, that means like it's very clear that a breakup has happened. You do not contact them anymore. You do not text them. You do not call them. You do not see them. You don't reply to their texts. Like you're just not talking. So you're not talking to them in any way, shape, or form. Caveats, obviously, you share children, you work together. I do have specific episodes on that. So episode 53 is all about more specifically like the caveats of if you have to see your ex, if you work with them, if you have kids with them, how do you handle that? The biggest thing is just going to be you just create your own version of a no contact rule around the necessary contact. So for example, if you work together, you're only communicating at work. You're not messaging them after work. You're not going to after work things with them. Even in the office, if the conversation starts veering personal, you bring that back. So it's really just creating your own version. But if you have no excuse to talk to them, you do not talk to them at all. And why do we do this? So the best way that I have described it, and it has been validated by a lot of experts on this show, specifically Dr. Amen, who talked about the brain and how your brain is actually looking for your ex after a breakup because they are such a huge source of dopamine, serotonin, all of those things. So I always felt like it was literally like detoxing. So you're detoxing from this person. And because I have so much experience with sobriety, to me, it made a lot of sense. And after, you know, talking about this for many, many years, I have come to learn that time and time again, this is the best way to heal through a breakup. You are giving your brain a chance to get space. You are giving it a chance to find its new normal. You're giving yourself a chance to find a new normal. Like, I really think at the end of the day, going through a breakup is all about figuring out how to learn to live without your ex in your life. And it's very difficult to do that if you are still leaning very heavily on your ex for companionship. I mean, even for a little, you know, tasks around the house, which I know that stuff is really difficult, especially if you did live with your ex, all of a sudden you're needing to ask someone else, but you do, you like, it's forcing your hand to really start making changes on how to live without your ex. And there are just so many things that we rely on our ex for, just have like these little habits of calling them on the way home, talking to them about a particular band. So by going no contact, you're forcing yourself to see all of the different ways that you relied upon them and forcing yourself to start filling those voids in different ways. And I think you're really selling yourself short. And again, this is why it can take so long to get over a breakup otherwise, if you are still relying on them for so many different things, because I don't know, I think pain is an incredibly motivating thing. And so by going through, it's the Band-Aid, it's ripping off the Band-Aid. You're ripping off the Band-Aid. And I would say like putting your healing into hyperdrive. And this brings me to the point of when I hear people say, no contact is really hard. Yeah, it's really hard. There's not really a way for me to make it not hard or make it not hurt. Just because it's hard doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing it. That's like the biggest thing. I think a lot of people hear the benefits of it and think, okay, I want to do that. I want those benefits. And then they realize, oh my gosh, this is so hard. Particularly if you started no contact or you started your breakup in contact, or you have fallen into a rhythm of being friends with your ex. This is not to say that you shouldn't still do it, but I'm just saying that might make it feel harder in the beginning. So there are lots of different tools on how to handle all the shock to the system of going through no contact, but there's nothing to take away the fact that it's going to be hard in the beginning. You really do have to think about it as an investment, and you have to just really like throw your hands up and be like, I know this is going to be really difficult, but I know that the pain is going to pass. Whereas on the flip side of that, if you're not going no contact, sure, it's probably, it will feel easier. It will give the illusion that it's easier, but at some point down the road, you'll run into a situation maybe where you're trying to be friends with your ex, and then they tell you that they started dating someone, and you're like, oh my gosh, this doesn't work for me. And then you have to start no contact. So I really think at some point, almost everyone has to hit this point. And I would really recommend doing it in the beginning versus way down the road. So another very common question I get is, how far does no contact go? Like, does it mean that I can't look at their social media? I think that's the most common one. And no, I wouldn't say you like broke no contact if you look at their social media, because I don't know, I'm not trying to make it impossible. It's more so I compare it to if I'm trying to not drink, I just wouldn't look at alcohol all day. Like, I wouldn't keep a glass of wine or a bottle of wine in direct eyesight of me all the time, because I would know for me that eventually I will, you know, take it to the next level and like open it, you know? So if you are, there's a saying in AA, if you go to a barber shop enough times, someday you're going to end up getting a haircut. I do think if you're looking at their social media all the time, you're very much more likely to end up taking it to the next level and texting them or calling them or DMing them on whatever that is. So you basically want to try to cut out as many things that would tempt you to reach out, because just in general, you're already going to feel so tempted to reach out. And that brings me to, what do we do with the temptation? Obviously, you're going to have temptation. Just because you go no contact does not mean that you're not going to feel like you have anything to say to your ex. You're going to feel like you have a lot of things to say to them. And it's important to get those things out. I'm a big fan of journaling when it comes to no contact. Also utilizing your friends, sending texts to your friends that you maybe want to send to your ex instead, just so it gets out of your body, it's out of your brain, you're sending it to someone, but you're not sending it to your ex. I think that is really important. It's also good to, especially in the beginning, to practice like what I call the 24-hour rule, where you're writing down what you want to say and then you're saving it. And this also, I think, helps, because feeling like you're never going to contact them is feels very daunting. But you can just say, okay, I'm not going to send this message now. I'm going to write it and I'll look at it again in 24 hours. And if I still feel like I really need to send it, I will give myself permission to. And I haven't heard a case yet where that ends up being a good idea the next day. After getting a night of sleep, having some of the emotion taken out of it, and then reading what you wrote again, you realize, whoa, I'm so glad I didn't send this. And the more times you do that, the more times you'll realize like, okay, when it feels like I absolutely like have to send a message to them right now, it's probably not my best judgment or my best thinking. So I'm learning to pause until the intensity doesn't feel so big. That's a really good tactic. And remembering to take it a day at a time. Like, people will say, how long does no contact last? I have my 30-day no contact challenge, and that is really to help give you a jump start or a boost. But ideally, no contact goes until you don't really care about contacting them. And that's the truth, is whether you realize, oh, it's been, you know, you're not even tracking the days anymore. It's been a period of time. And you realize like, oh, I don't really care to talk to them. And I'm also not putting a lot of energy into not talking to them. That state of indifference, I would say that's the goal. It's when it comes to, I guess, setting up no contact, I'm not a fan when people will tell their ex, okay, let's go 30 days and then let's reconnect after the 30 days. I don't like that. I don't really think that's giving anyone a chance to move on. It's setting it up more as a break than an actual breakup. So I would never recommend doing it like that. One of the questions I did get was, like, what do you say to someone to start no contact? Let's say, and especially like if it was respectful breakup, but you realize you still need the space to move on. I recommend saying something like, hey, I really appreciate how we've handled the breakup. And I appreciate how, you know, you've wanted to know how I'm doing. I really need the space to move on from this relationship. So I'm going to, you know, respectfully ask that you don't contact me moving forward. I need this space, and do it that way. And I just went through this with a Q&A, and someone sent me a screenshot of their conversation with their ex where they said that. And the person was so respectful back and said, I completely understand. Like, I wish you all the best, and doing it that way. Sometimes people don't handle it well. I will say sometimes people don't handle it well, but truly that's not your business. Your business is, I believe every single person has a right. Every single person, as long as they are taking care of their responsibilities, meaning they're still taking care of their children and still doing their job, I believe every single person has the right to go no contact with a breakup. And I don't think it makes the person like immature. I don't believe it means that the person hates you. That's something I get a lot, is like, they broke up with me. Why did they block me? And I tell people, it's not anything against you. It's more so, we're already going through this painful breakup, right? We're going through this really difficult thing of ending a relationship, whether it's mutual, whether it's not, like whatever the breakup is, they're hard. And so let's give ourselves the real chance for both people to move forward. So just because an ex blocks you, or just because you need to block your ex, it doesn't equal hatred, or it doesn't mean that they're trying to erase you. It really just means like, I can't move forward if I have this much invested in like following you on social media or still talking to you. And I think it's fair if you tell your ex, like, I don't want any contact moving forward, and they try to give you a hard time, or they just straight up disrespect the boundary and continue talking to you, you can reinforce it. I would reinforce it once. And if it continues, like, I would block them, because you're already in a state of not feeling great. And I know it's not easy to tell someone, hey, I can't continue this conversation with you. So to then receive a guilt trip, that's really difficult.
I'm sure it won't surprise anyone to hear that only about 8% of people stick with their New Year's resolutions. I know in the past I've made it the goal to meditate every day, work out 4 times a week, stop ordering takeout, but those have never seemed to last. What if there was a way to make a resolution automatic? While Acorns can't help with the gym, they can make saving and investing money automatic in just 5 short minutes. With everything else you have going on with your breakup, take saving money off your plate and start the year with Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing, so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. Financial stress has always been one of my biggest stress points, and it's a habit I've had a hard time sticking with. I love that Acorns can take that off my hands where I don't even have to think about it. Head to acorns.com/heartbreak or download the Acorns app today to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risks. Acorn Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/heartbreak.
Over the past year, I've really made an effort to get my finances in a place where I'm not just budgeting, but I'm also looking into my financial future. And recently I've learned a few things that I think you would find so interesting. Did you know that 66% of men are investing in the stock market compared to just 48% of women? And here's another one that probably won't surprise you. Multiple studies have shown that women are better investors than men. Why? Because men are overconfident and women actually do the research.
The good news is that Acorns makes it easy for everyone to start investing. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You also don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you have is spare change. I love that Acorns automates and takes the guesswork out of what is usually a very intimidating process. Sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/heartbreak or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risks. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/heartbreak. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes in addition to your breakup overwhelm? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. And these hormone disruptors are on top of the natural hormone changes we go through. And even though it is a natural process, it doesn't mean it doesn't wreak havoc on us. The good news is you don't have to suffer through it anymore. Thanks to Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal changes in women of all ages. I love that Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, and occasional bloating and gas. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code HEARTBREAK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HEARTBREAK for 15% off today.
So one of the things of like, what if your ex reaches out to you? Let's say, because people will also say, do I need to inform my ex that I'm doing no contact? I say no. Again, if you've kind of established a friendship after the breakup, it might be something where you do need to say something. But if the breakup just happened and there's been like no contact, I don't think you owe them like, hey, I'm going to go no contact with you. It's better to just lead with your actions. If they reach out to you, you could say, thanks for reaching out. Let's say they say, how are you? You could say, thanks for reaching out. I'm doing okay, but it's not going to work us communicating. So please don't reach out to me anymore. Whatever script that feels genuine to you in that way. Should you send an apology to an ex? I feel very torn on this one. With my experience in AA, where apologies are really big, there's like two of the 12 steps actually is all about making a list of people that you owe amends to and then making direct amends to them. Even going through the steps multiple times, it has always been recommended to me to not go out of my way to do those amends to ex-partners. And you know, the way it was explained to me is you can always make a living amends of just doing things differently in the future. I think a lot of the times it pulls both people back in. So it ultimately, I think, hurts both people. And I think a lot of the times we just do it for the wrong motive. A lot of times when I talk to someone and they're thinking about doing an apology text to an ex, the more we talk, the more it comes out that they are hoping of saying, hey, look, I've changed. So I want you to see, hey, look at me over here. I'm saying sorry, but I'm also really using this as an opportunity to say that I've changed. And so I'm hoping that by telling you I've changed and by opening the door to this conversation in the form of an apology, that this will spark something of getting back together. So I just don't think motive-wise it makes sense. I will give you two examples of ways that I have done it, but there's like a big caveat of it really just happened organically. I've done two amends to exes, and they've really just been happenstance things where I ran into them somewhere and we just started talking, and I just, you know, ended up saying, I realized this was my part in the relationship and in the breakup, and I wanted to say that I was sorry. So that's how I would do it. I really wouldn't go out of the way to do it. But that, again, that would be my opinion on it. Another thing people will say is, I heard that my ex's mom died, something like that. Is it okay to reach out? Or, you know, sometimes around, like, we just had the LA fires this month, I will hear, like, I just want to make sure they're okay. I do think that's okay. Obviously, like, there are going to be situations where it's not okay. If someone specifically asked you, like, do not reach out to me, you need to respect that boundary. But if it wasn't necessarily like that, and you heard news like that or want to check in, I think it's okay to do it if you have a good motive. Let's use the fires for an example. You could say, you know, hey, I just want to check up on you and your family's house. No need to reply. I just want to let you know that I'm thinking about you. And if I can do anything, please let me know. And then that's it. You cannot expect a response. And you can't expect anything out of that. I was talking to someone and their ex had a parent pass away and they, like, really wanted to stop by and, I don't know, drop something off. And it was, okay, like, you can go do it if that's your only intention. So they went and they, like, dropped off food on the doorstep, dropped off a card, and that was it. So you can't use it as a way to come in as, like, the savior and try to help them, or use it again as, like, a motive to get back together. And I think I find that is a big reason that people do it. So that would be my thoughts on exceptions to the rule. And there's thousands of you that listen to this. There's always going to be things that I'm not going to cover, but these are, like, general guidelines, I think. Okay, tying up loose ends. So one of the questions was what to do if you have a house, if you, like, share a house together. So sharing a house is obviously a big tie. I mean, the biggest one being if you share kids, but for most people's, like, tying up loose ends when it comes to no contact, my theory is the more distance you can keep, the better. If it is just a matter of dropping off things, hey, these are the things that I found at my house that are yours, have a friend coordinate it. That's, I think, a good option. Or if you know where they live, just go drop it on their doorstep. It doesn't, like, again, I do think a lot of people are going to search for any kind of loophole. I've done that before. Hey, you left your sweatshirt over here. Why don't you come over and pick it up? And one thing leads to another and things happen. So do it as at a distance as possible. I had two co-parenting coaches on. It's episode 33. And they talked about how when people are going through separations with kids, they recommend everything get moved to email. Emails makes it a lot less personal. So that's another option. Doing things through, like, if it comes to a house, try to have a middle person, your realtor, obviously, like, a divorce, a lawyer. You know, I've never gone through a divorce in that way, but the people that I have talked to that have done it have said, like, it's just so easy if you guys are talking, it's just so easy to go back, to fall back into old habits, or to, like, have a feeling come up, or just, like, start reminiscing about a memory. So it is really good to keep things as distant as possible. Dogs, this is kind of a niche topic. I truly believe that you can't share custody of a dog with an ex. I know plenty of people will tell me that's not true. I'm sure I've seen it work, but it's just, that's really hard. I think it's so much better for everyone involved, including the dog, to decide early on who gets the dog and then split from there. Because I just think it's just too stressful on everyone to maintain a connection like that. Okay. Honestly, a lot of these I've kind of already talked through, but okay. So one of them is, and I'm not even going to answer this exact question, but someone had said, how effective is no contact with a dismissive avoidant? And I just want to blanketly say, no contact works for any kind of breakup, because no contact really does not have anything to do with your ex. It has everything to do with you getting space you need to heal. So it doesn't really matter if your ex was secure, avoidant, anxious, whatever that looks like. All you're doing is protecting yourself and building space for yourself to heal. So if you're looking at no contact as a healing mechanism for you to get space and move forward, it works 100% of the time. If you are using it as a way to get back with an ex, I don't know. I don't know how people try to pitch no contact as a way to get back together with someone. I think it's bullshit and I don't think it works. So no contact really, like, regardless of, well, we had this kind of a thing, I will always hear stories of, well, what if it, does it work with this? Does it work with this? What if this happens? I have a friend who they stayed really good friends and then they ended up getting back together. Like, there's always an exception to the rule. I just did an episode on why you should not believe that you're not, that you're the exception to the rule, because that is very damaging. It makes it a lot harder to move forward. So the best thing is just to know no contact is for me. It's not for my ex. It's not to get back together with my ex. And this is like the final question. And I think I did a whole episode on the, like, the biggest fears that people have around no contact. And the episode I'm talking about is episode 75, where you're scared of the no contact rule. And I think the biggest fear is this going to ruin any chance of getting back together? Does this ruin any chance of potential reconciliation? And the answer is no. The answer is no. I'm a pretty good example of that. Episode 27 is where I share the story of me and my husband, but we didn't go, we went no contact fully for 18 months with absolutely no plans of ever connecting or talking ever again. And we ended up getting back together. So no, if anything, I can truly say that if we had not been no contact and if we had tried to communicate throughout that 18 months, we would not be together still. It just, it would get too messy. We would not have had the chance to do the things that we both needed to do separately with no intention of getting back together. We would not be able to navigate that and get back together cleanly. So again, there's episode 75 is all about why you potentially are scared to go no contact. Oh, I guess, sorry, I lied. That was not the last thing. The last thing is, what if you break no contact? And that, again, I have another full episode on that. It's episode 156. If you break no contact, it's okay. It's going to happen. It happens to a lot of people. Most people, I would argue. The biggest thing is, first of all, not to panic, not to judge yourself. I think the more judgmental you are of yourself for breaking no contact, the more likely you are to do it again. The more that you give it yourself as an opportunity to practice compassion and kindness, the more likely you are to heal from it and move forward. I think the other biggest thing is, just because you reach out once doesn't mean you need to continue the conversation. You can always go back. You can always say, it was a mistake for me to reach out. I need to go back to no contact. I think you can always do that. That is always available to you. You do not owe the just because you initiated it, it doesn't mean you need to owe them finishing the conversation. So my biggest advice, if you break no contact, don't panic, go right back into no contact and make sure you do some kind of reflection, journaling, best to do it in a way that you can save. So if you break no contact, most likely you'll end up feeling kind of shitty about it at some point. And it might feel good. It's probably will feel good at first, but you know, at some point you'll probably end up feeling shitty about it. Write down why and how it feels. And then if you're ever tempted again, just refer back to your little reflection, because it will prevent you from doing it again. So no contact. I will link this in the show notes. I have a blog post of DMs that I accumulated of people sharing why no contact works so well for them and the difference. And there are so many that said, I really wish I had started sooner, because once I did, my ability to move forward got so much better. And again, it takes time. It's going to feel hard in the beginning, but I think the biggest benefit, and this is proven in the messages that I get, is people will say it reduces my anxiety. And I think the reason for that is, speaking from experience, when I have been in contact with an ex, there is so much energy put into, oh my gosh, am I going to hear from them today? Oh, okay. If I hear from them, what are they going to say? And when they reach out to me, how long should I wait to reply? I don't want to put too much into it. It's just this, like, it's chasing a high, and it just causes so much anxiety of, I'm going to have a good day if they reach out. I'm not if they don't. it's just giving the other person too much power in a situation where you're already feeling powerless. Breakups make you feel very powerless. So by just taking that option off the table of, and yes, it's, again, it's ripping off a band-aid. It's going to be painful. It's going to feel sad. But then moving forward, you know, I'm not going to hear from them. I'm not going to hear from them. And so I already know that. So I can go about my day knowing that. And yes, I can feel sad about it. And yes, I can have times where I want to reach out, but I can work through it. But I'm not revolving my day around if I hear from someone or not. And like another very common question is, my birthday is coming up. Am I going to hear from them? Should I reach out to them on their birthday? And I will tell people, hey, on your birthday, block your ex. Just don't ruin your birthday by sitting on pins and needles all day waiting for a text to come through from them. Just block their number for the day. That way, you know, I'm not getting a text from them today, because even if they texted me, I'm not going to see it. Just don't give it that much energy. And once you can move past that, like, yes, you'll be sad and it will be hard for a period of time, but then it will get better. But you, again, you like won't live with that constant anxiety of whether or not you're going to hear from them and how will you deal with it when you hear from them or not. So we covered a lot. Hopefully you maybe found some topics to further latch on to and dive deeper on. If you are looking for more support on it, I definitely recommend the No Contact Challenge. It's only $25. It is, when you first sign up, you're going to get the No Contact Guidebook, which goes through a lot of what we talked about in here with some exercises. You will also get the No Contact Digital Journal just as a way to help track your progress, some reflection questions to do every day. And then the biggest part of the challenge is every day for 30 days, you will get an email from me covering a different topic. And what I hear from people is it's nice to know that every day you're going to get an email and have that accountability and have extra support with different tips and stuff. So I will also link that in the show notes, but I could talk about this topic for hours. I just think it's so important. I think it's singularly the most important thing to do during a breakup, and I will continue to talk about it as long as you guys will listen. So I'll see you guys back here again next week.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tap, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.